Hey, what's going on? It is September 13th, 2019, and you're listening to episode 150 of the KG Podcast. I'm your host, Cameron Abbott, the unsexiest comedian, and for what is the last time, I will be your host. As of right now, a decision was made, mostly by me, but with the support of Chandler and Scott, that I will be stepping down from the KG Podcast and hosting duties to kind of recalibrate where I'm at with life and where I'm going. I've had some health issues recently, as well as just a long commute and a lot of work has kind of put me out of sorts. And I kind of got to rethink about where I'm going and what my goals are. And luckily, I am supported by two incredible friends who not only understand that that is something that I need to do, but it's also a great time for the podcast because next week, for the first time in 4.5 years, the chain will be broken. After 150 standard episodes and what I can only assume to be more than 200 episodes altogether, including solo casts and special episodes, I think that we have officially reached a good point where we can look back and say, we started from episode one and the awful, awful, awful episode that it was, moving into what would become episode 13, which is kind of where this format began, and to where we are now at episode 150.
Crazy.
Yeah, it's been crazy. And I have the distinct honor and incredible pleasure and just incredible blessing to be co-hosting with the man who just went with it, Chandler Duggar. Mm-hmm. And the social media enigma, Scott Warner.
Hey, yo.
All right, boys, let's teach him how to say goodbye.
Starts with a G. You make a G sound first.
I can always trust you to add brevity to it, Scott.
That's good.
Yeah. We had a really great discussion before we started recording about kind of where things were with all of us. And, you know, Scott, as the only new member to exist as part of this team, you were incredibly positive and forward-thinking and immediately, like, rebounding from my sudden news, because to be completely honest with the and transparent with the audience, this was very abrupt for you guys. I know that I've been talking about like something probably needed to change soon because I just was not able to keep up with what was going on. And I honestly, if you don't know, if you've ever heard me talk about it before, the episodes where it's just the two of you guys, I've always thought were stellar episodes and amazing episodes. And to kind of see where you guys will choose to take, what path you choose to take with it, I'm really looking forward to it, and I'm looking to kind of be there to assist where needed. So.
Right on.
Yeah. Alright, so this will be my last time hosting this podcast. Let's go ahead and get right into it.
Absolutely.
First things first, Chandler, we're going to let you take a bit of a breather because you did two solo casts in a row.
Yeah.
You absolute legend. you Yada Chad, you.
I guess.
So I'll just go ahead and start things off. I started my new job, like, in earnest, and it's been kicking my butt. Just my commute, mostly. Like, the job itself has not been difficult. It's the commute. It's the hour and a half to 2 hour drive there, an hour and a half to 2 hour drive back home every day. I hate it. I hate that commute. It sucks. It sucks so bad. I'm using more gas in a week than I've ever used, I think, in like a month. it's the worst. It's the pits, and I hate it. The job itself is not going to be too difficult. I'm really looking forward to doing it and kind of getting... I'm chomping at the bit at work, so that's good, but... yeah, looking forward and going forward, I'm expecting to, you know, spend a lot of time at work and spend a lot of time focusing on work and figuring out where my goals are going to be going forward outside of work as well. So, as far as video games go, since I got paid, I finally bought games. Game I picked up that I was surprised that I've been really into is Gundam Versus on the PS4. It's currently, right now, the big in Japan game sale, I think, is what's going on, and it was like $15. And it's an incredible steal at $15. Kind of like an arcadey mobile suit fighting game where you're third-person action. It's really cool. Can be a bit janky at times just because you have to learn how to time things correctly. It's not like an easy lock-on, and it does all the work for you. You have to kind of figure out your timing correctly. And each Gundam, which is, there's tons of them, each of them, like, controlled differently. And each of them have different movesets, and it's just, it's a lot of in-depth customization that's really cool in it. Then after that, I have been playing Fire Emblem and Three Houses. Finally picked that up, and I've just been loving that. Picked Golden Deer, of course, because I do not tolerate tyranny. And the age of monarchies is clearly over, and I refuse to support them.
Okay.
And then I also picked up Astral Chain, but I haven't started playing that yet, so... I'm glad to be back on, like, the modern game trend. Also, I played through a bunch of Destiny 2, of course, and finally got all of the Season of Opulence weapons from the... what do they call it?
It's Menagerie?
The Menagerie, yeah, that's it. I've got all the, like, Menagerie weapons, finally. Like, I've had the seals to do them, I just have not gotten around to doing it, and I finally did it, picked up the, like, really cool power weapon, like the fusion rifle and the shotgun and the heavy machine gun. Those are quite awesome. So, been enjoying that. During Season of Opulence, I maxed out to 750. I'm looking glorious. I have my... I decided to equip the... I think it's the blue. Yeah, I chose the blue, the arc lighting for mine. And it just looks so good.
Oh, for the Solstice of Heroes gear?
Yeah, the Solstice Hero gear. I'm really glad I did it, too, because I told you guys that I was going to quit it. I wasn't going to finish it because I hated it. But I just got back into it, man, and I just finally just did it. I buckled up, buckled down, like, just got it through, and...
There you go.
Bada-bing, bada-boom. It's done. Enjoyed doing that, and then... Yeah, not much else. That's pretty much been it for me. Scott, what's going on?
Oh, man. Nothing but Destiny. What the heck? I've been a bum. I don't know if you call it a bum or whatever, but so much Destiny. It's been a lot of fun. Let's see.
It sounds like we were originally gonna postpone a podcast tonight, like just by an hour, so you guys could raid.
That's true.
Like, you're super into it.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. I've gotten a lot of the pinnacle weapons from Crucible. Played a lot of...
Jeez, that is insane that you've been doing those. Those things are monstrous, man. Yeah. Like, anytime I see anybody with it and I get killed by one of their pinnacle weapons, I was like, you know what? Man, I have it.
I'm almost done with Luna's Howl, for anybody know. It's a handgun in the game. Almost done with that. And then the only other pinnacle weapon I'll be missing will be But Not Forgotten. That's it.
Is that the grenade launcher?
No. Not Forgotten is another hand cannon. But you have to basically reset your competitive rank. And that's like, oh my. I'm a long way from that. So that'll have to wait till October when they change how matchmaking works a bit before I can get that one. But I mean, shoot, I basically got them all and it's been a really fun ride. Turns out a lot of those, the Crucible Pinnacle weapons, two of them are just beasts, absolute monsters in PvE. It's crazy.
Yeah, no, I know people who use them. Yeah. They're insane.
Mountaintop and Recluse are just, what the heck?
Mountaintop is the one that, like...
That's the grenade launcher.
I can't believe that people do that.
Yeah, I mean, they nerfed the like, quest
that is,
a bit.
That is so. The one that...
recently, but...
Still, you have to do so... The grenade kills that you have, like, the grenade launcher kills you gotta get with that thing.
It was a beast, let me tell you. It was a beast, but, yeah, a lot of cool stuff. Been raiding a lot, and just a lot of Destiny. Wrapping up a lot of this stuff that I didn't get, and I've been neglecting for so long. Like, different emblems, different ships, and triumphs, and all that stuff, so... Yeah, if we could raid tonight, I'll get 50 of those tributes placed and get a special emote for the opulence stuff. So anybody who's listening, if you like Destiny, that those words will make sense to you. Sorry for everybody else.
Oh, speaking of Destiny, I need to mention on handsomephantom.com, I currently have an article up called Destiny by Me, where I wrote about kind of like... an introspection on Destiny's effect that it's had on me and kind of like the emotional kind of milestones that I've gone through with the game. It's not a very long piece at all. It's maybe about a page and a half. I think it's only like 800 words. And of course it's included at the very bottom is one of my custom MS Paint jobs that I made for it, just for it. So go check it out over there. Anything else you've been playing, Scott? Anything else you've been doing?
Oh, man. Just
How's Hootie and the Blowfish?
Doing pretty good. We're recording our first single here soon.
I don't think you picked it up. I said Hootie, like with D's instead of T's, because it's your boy, your baby boy.
Okay. Yeah, he's doing good. He's sleeping. Doing his thing, sleeping.
Doing his thing where he can sleep, so he'll be active tomorrow. And...
yeah.
Oh, that's right. He's crawling around and, like, climbing stuff now, isn't he?
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun.
How much baby-proofing have you guys had to do?
I mean, there's things on all the electrical sockets.
That's about it.
Yeah. But, yeah.
Fair enough.
That's it. My life's pretty boring.
Cool. All right. Chandler, it's time for you to talk about what you've been doing.
Because we haven't heard from you, man.
That's true. I've actually been kind of taking a break from games a little bit. During the Solstice event, I got really burnt out on Destiny, and I just needed a break. Yeah. And then not only that, I also hurt my shoulder.
Oof.
And so kind of just been taking life easy. So yeah, I've been doing a lot
of Bonobo. I just said Bonobo.
Yeah, so just kind of been doing really not a whole lot. Been just watching different shows. I've actually been reading quite a bit of manga, I should say.
Some of them Japanese comics.
Mm-hmm. So and then I did play, what did I play? Oh, so there's a, let me pull up Steam here because I forget the actual name, but basically it's a Star Wars, Age of Empires 2, and it's basically just literally they took Age of Empires 2 and then skinned it with Star Wars. Let me pull it up here real quick. I played that the
other day. Oh, I remember that game. Yeah.
I played that the other day, and it was a lot of fun. Star Wars Galactic Battlegrounds Saga, that's what it's called. And, like, this game's super old, and it shows, like, I think the max resolution was, like, it's like 1200 by, like, 1000 or something. It's really weird resolution, and everything was stretched out and super pixely. Especially on my 4K monitor, but yeah, doing that. I'm in classes right now, so I'm in my second week of new classes right now. 3 weeks ago, I had finals, Did really good on my finals, passed those classes, and then the new classes came, and oh, I've been just struggling to want to keep doing classes, but I'm in the home stretch on school right now, and so I just need to do it. So, but yeah, so I'm in my last 6 months of school. I'll be graduating in February. I think I've mentioned that before, but yeah, other than that, I played like a handful of just kind of dumb mobile games too, just to try out different games. And I really haven't messed with games on my phone, the new Samsung that I got, I don't know how many months ago. So it was a good opportunity to kind of put it through its paces and mess around with it and stuff. So other than that, I think that's about it. So, yeah.
All right. So let's go ahead and get into the news, because
there's a lot of news. Mm-hmm.
Yes, there is. All right. Let's go ahead and start off with a few things. First off is a... So Jason Schreier reported about it's essentially an expose into the game publisher Nicalis, which is called spelled Nicalis, just in case there's another developer out there called Nicalis that is not spelled that way and has no relation to the story. So they're pretty popular for basically helping do a lot of ports for a lot of places, and including The Binding of Isaac and a lot of other games. Important to note that basically the story coming out about this is that the leader of the studio, Tyrone Rodriguez, has basically been called out for... He's being called out by many developers, and now by Jason Schreier, for ghosting people and... people hire him to do a port, and then he ghosts them. Like, he never gets back to them, and they have to find somebody else to do it. Fury, which is a game that came out on PS4 and Xbox One, ended up wanting to do a Switch version that eventually did come out, but notably it was several months after the developer wanted to have it out by, and the reason is because they trusted Nicalis and Rodriguez to basically put this, like, be working on the game, and they weren't. Basically, like, it's an interesting point to note. It's a good article over on Kotaku if you just want to go through it. It's a pretty lengthy article, but it goes into a deep description of basically his intolerant behavior, just overall intolerant behavior towards people, as well as essentially racial slurs and other such vulgarity. Since the article was published, Tyrone Rodriguez has come out and released a statement in regards to that, so... Basically, take a look at it, make your own decision on it, because, of course, you should. And that's basically it for that story.
Okay.
Next up is Borderlands 3 is a big game that's come out. Of course, it's Borderlands. We've been talking about it since they announced it. We've also been talking about kind of the information about Randy Pitchford, the founder and CEO of Gearbox, the developer of Borderlands.
What a brand. What a man.
I mean, that's a word to call. what a magician man. That's what he magician. Magician. Anyway. A couple of pieces of news came out about that. First and foremost is that originally they announced that there would be no... preloading for the Epic Game Store.
Epic Game Store does not have that.
Nope, Epic Game Store does not allow it. Or it, like it's not an enabled natural feature on the Epic Game Store. So in order to make do, Borderlands 3 developers had to basically like reroute it through.
They essentially had to make that feature possible for Epic.
Yeah. And Tim Sweeney made like a big deal about it. He's like, this is an extraordinary development push. And it's like, yeah, for your platform.
Right.
Because it was enabled for everywhere else on consoles 2 days beforehand as well.
Yeah.
Without any problems, because of course it was, because that's just a natural feature for a large game like this.
Yeah.
Anyway, they also released like a really neat graphic about when things would release based off of time zones. So that's something. Yeah, basically that's it. Like that, and then of course there was Jason Schreier, speaking of the man again, there was an interesting note about how Borderlands 3's reviews were being handled. So, and this is, as Polygon explained in their review, this is a quote from them, 2K Games and Gearbox didn't send out review codes for Borderlands 3. Instead, they set up reviewers up, or sorry, they set reviewers up with new Epic Game Store accounts with the game unlocked, and gave us a few warnings about the game being a work in progress. They asked us to stay away from the DirectX 12 implementation, for example, and told us that our progress in these builds may or may not carry over to the final game. Ben Kuchera, who wrote about it, talked about a lot of issues, technical issues, random crashes, and someone losing 6 hours of progress and having to start from scratch. There was a lot of, like, and this is something that I've also seen. For example, for those of you who are playing on console like I am, you'll note that there is a mode, like there are two graphics modes. There's one for performance and one based off of stability. And the stability one is the one that runs at about 30 frames per second, and the performance runs at 60. Of course, I went for the performance, 60 frames per second. And while in my personal experience, I had issues at the beginning of the game with just like catch-up frames being played, I haven't experienced that recently. But I will also state that that is like it's very clear that there's inconsistency with people's experiences as far as the technical prowess, or not the technical prowess, but the technical abilities being displayed here.
Yeah.
So, that's something.
Yeah, this is crazy that there's a freaking development team making stuff for a launcher? What?
Yeah, it's just, you know, it's something that Epic should already have built in, and they don't, and it's just more reasons why people are not going to be happy with the continued exclusivity of the Epic Game Store.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is something like this that kind of opens up people's eyes like mine about like how backwards the Epic Game Store really is. Like, to the point where, like, it's so bare bones in the features that it offers, and even when the features they offer, sometimes they break, or they just don't work, or you have to buy games separately, you can't use a cart to check out. I ran into that issue recently when I wanted to, like, when I hate it because I get the free games through the Epic Game Store, but then when I want to, like, you know, select them to download them, or, like, have them claimed on my account, I have to go through the purchasing process for each and every single one of them.
I did not know that.
Yeah, that's a thing. That's a real thing. You still have to go through the checkout for each and every one of those downloads, even though it's free.
What I don't understand is how the shopping cart still isn't implemented. Exactly. It's not even hard. Speaking from a strictly programming perspective, shopping carts are already existed. All you have to do is implement it. It's like a few lines of code that says, use this shopping cart so that people can put things in it. That is it. You don't have to build it from scratch. I don't understand why it's still not available.
Chandler, if you ever figure that out, let me know.
I will, I guess, but oh my gosh.
Since I'm not going to be on this show anymore.
It's so freaking, it's just nuts. I don't get it at all.
No.
Listen, if you want to call the reporting on the Epic Game Store, like the Abbott Report, like,
Maybe
like,
we will.
Basically, for the sake of people, like, because let's face the facts, if it hadn't been for you guys being such staunch opposition, like, in such staunch opposition towards the Epic Game Store, I never would have, like realized half the stuff about this.
Yeah, that's bad.
Like, it's just, it's not a good system, and people don't really think about that because they're like, oh, well, half the stuff on there's free anyway. But, like, there's really simple things like a shopping cart that doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. And things like that. So, I just wanted to, you know. So, if you wanted to do that, feel free. But yeah. So, I mean, geez, yeah. Though this is a sorry. This is another article about people having issues with, for example, it running poorly on the PS4 Slim, and things like that. So, let's take a look here. Oh, also, if you are a PC player, do not play it with DirectX 12 because they still haven't fixed that even in launch. Just a heads up.
Jeez, okay.
Also, I was a friend of the show, a friend of mine, at Beasley Tweets, Lauren, she's a like producer out in L.A., but she's an avid gamer. She streams. She does a lot of stuff. But what she actually pointed out is, let me actually find her tweets because I think it's very, very important to when we're talking about this game that we mention certain things. So right now we currently are living in an age where more than ever we've had accessibility be forefront, whether it's through Able Gamers or it's just through basic accessibility options and, you know, changing the keys around on a keyboard for what activates what. I need to mention this. So she started, this was earlier this evening at 7:30. She tweeted out, quote, "Was so excited to play Borderlands 3 when I got home, but I can't even get it to launch in the Epic Games Store. I've restarted my PC 5 times already, currently reinstalling the game. Hashtag PC Master Race, and with a GIF that said everything is fine with Liz Lemon from 30 Rock breaking down and having a freak out." reinstalling did the trick, she said. And then she said, "Hi, me again. You know the gamer that is left-handed and plays MKB, and yet developers and yet devs tend to think that we don't exist? I don't know what MKB is." Guys, can you help me with that?
What, NKB?
M/KB. Or KBM on a keyboard and a mouse. Oh, keyboard and mouse. Sorry, that's what that means. My bad. She's saying and plays mouse and keyboard.
And she plays left-handed mouse keyboard. Got it.
Yep. Loving Borderlands, but they've made text chat unchangeable and bound to Y, which is my interact key for all other games. Which makes sense, actually, because Y is totally normal for being an interact key. Why wouldn't she just use enter?
Or well, if she's using her left hand with the mouse, why?
Oh, that's right. So she's using her right.
Yeah, why would be like R?
That's crazy.
Oh, that's true. Okay, which is bound to Y. Which my interact key for all games, and boy, does it suck not having that. Please tell me I am wrong, and there is indeed a way to change the binding on it. I even disabled chat, but it just makes Y do nothing at all. There are a couple things where I guess Gearbox just didn't think a left-handed mouse and keyboard player would play their game. Not only this text chat thing, but also accepting quests. E to accept, D to decline, unchangeable. Super convenient if you're right-handed, I'm not. Like, I refuse to believe that not a single dev was left-handed. How does this shit like this always happen? And she's like, yeah, if like anybody knows so that something different can work with this, let me know. Let me go through her tweets here.
That's crazy.
No, nothing new. Nothing new. So. She's had the worst part is she's had a hard week. Like I said, she's a friend of mine, so I know that she's had a hard week, and this certainly did not help.
Yeah, I just want to say, first of all, I think it's incredible that she plays left-handed. I'm left-handed, and I play right-handed mouse and keyboard. Because I've just always used my mouse right-handed, because it was always such a pain to try to flip things around. And two, like,
you know, shame on Gearbox for not doing just simple remapping cubes. Like,
yeah,
that doesn't even make sense for a modern video game.
No,
especially for PC. Like, I think even smaller indie games have remappable key bindings. Like, that's also not a hard feature at all to implement. So I don't know. That's weird.
Yep.
That's crazy, crazy, crazy.
Yep. I just thought that was like an interesting piece because I caught that earlier tonight on Twitter. And I was like, oh, that's weird.
Was this the one that you were, in our little pre-show, you're like, oh, this will be cool. Is that the one you talk about?
No, that's a different one. That's the next story we're going to talk about.
Oh, no.
Has nothing to do with Gearbox. That was just that just popped into my head. I just suddenly remembered that she had been going through that earlier tonight. I'm glad I remembered that, though, so I was able to go through that. So, yeah, that's an example of, like, all these little things that are adding up for people that are just making it a hard experience. Next up is, this is the story I was talking about, like, oh, yeah, this came out. This would be good to talk about. I don't know if you guys know this, but I'm going to go ahead. Joseph Knoop does a great, from IGN, does a great introduction to this, and I'm going to just quote him on it.
Okay.
Quote, there are ad campaigns, and then there's whatever KFC just did. An official dating sim starring a hunky anime version of KFC's mascot Colonel Sanders has dropped on Steam. It's available soon, and you can totally romance the king of fried chicken himself. End quote. Quote, I love you, Colonel Sanders, is the name of the game. According to the Steam page, you're a student at a culinary school, and your classmate is the Colonel himself, because of course. You're joined by a clumsy best friend, a couple of heated rivals, and a dog, who is also a professor, appropriately named Professor Dog. End quote. This is incredible, and I will 100% play this game.
Of course you will.
Oh my gosh.
There's apparently 9 characters, multiple hours of playthrough, a secret ending, secret recipes, and 11 herbs and spices.
Of course there is.
Oh my, yeah, I saw this earlier when it hit Steam, and I just, oh my. Oh my.
Oh my gosh, it's the best. I'm so excited, because by the way, Colonel Sanders is a straight up husbando in this game.
Oh my gosh.
Also, Professor Dog is a good dog, and I want him to be my professor. If Professor Dog was a real professor, I would go back to school just so he would be my professor.
Yeah. The only professor for me.
This is an actual screenshot. It said, quote, Colonel Sanders lifts a large bucket above his head. Its contents glimmer in the light. End quote. It's a bucket of fried chicken.
I don't know if I feel comfortable with my fried chicken glimmering.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. This is gonna be so good. Oh my gosh, this is like Sneak King all over again, and I love it.
You remember that?
Yeah, oh my
there
gosh.
There was 3 games. I was like,
do you guys remember when the Burger King was both horrifying and weirdly attractive?
No.
Like, not attractive is not the right word. Like, how the Burger King was creepy and weird, yet incredibly sexually charged.
He'd bring you your spare donuts or something.
No, he would, like, you wait, like, it just shows, like, a guy getting up in bed, and then, like, the Burger King getting up next to him, and handing him a sandwich, like, they had been in bed together.
I remember those commercials. That was a long time ago.
Like, those commercials were so sexually charged.
Oh, the times we
lived in. Oh, my gosh. The times we lived in. I don't know if you could do that now, in the Me Too era. They might cancel the Burger King if they did it today.
Oh, man. Alright, well, man. Go check the game out.
Yeah. On to some sad news. GameStop is set to close up to 200 underperforming stores worldwide by the end of Q4. So, they announced in their third quarter they lost $488.6 million, and originally they laid off over 50 regional district field leaders and regional office people, including the folks over at Game Informer. We talked about that when that happened, but yeah, it's it looks like this is just like it's gonna keep happening.
Slide.
Nobody's bought GameStop, and we're probably on our way to see it kind of pitter patter out.
The end is now.
It's the end of an era.
So yep. That means the GameStop across the street from the other GameStop is going to close down.
Or both GameStops will close down, yeah.
Oh.
All right. In better news and happier news, you can now pet the dog in Red Dead Online. So you can, in Red Dead Online, you can get a dog to be kind of like your camp guard. And apparently you weren't able to pet him, but now you are. So there you go.
Alright, it's been a long time since I played Red Dead.
I was going to say, it's a game I haven't touched in a while.
Alright, to wrap up things, let's go ahead and talk about the games that have come out recently and kind of where they're sitting at on OpenCritic. Of course, we use OpenCritic.com because it does use a bit more of, like, a good mix of both indie and mainstream outlets. As far as, like, how they kind of do their Open Critic rating for it. So.
Just don't go to opencritic.net.
What was that? Was that me? Like, I botched that, and I kept saying opencritic.net or that night
no,
or something?
I don't know. I don't even know what you're talking about.
Fair enough. Let's go ahead and do this here. Okay. Yeah, let's go ahead and talk about some of the games that came out. First things first, Borderlands 3 is currently sitting at an 85 on OpenCritic, with 10 giving it strong reviews, 4 giving it fair reviews, and then 1 giving it a poor review. IGN gave it a 9, Game Informer gave it an 8, PC Gamer gave it a 63 out of 100, and GameSpot gave it an 8. Seems like it's sitting around that 85 for a reason. Yeah. So, it's sitting around there, and then Gamesby gave it 77 out of 100. It's definitely within that high, like, 6 to 7 range for most places. A few places scored it lower. So.
Gotcha.
Which, I mean, that's not... It's not that surprising, like, outside of, like, the performance issues. It's still Borderlands. So.
Yeah, I heard it's also... It's kind of more or less... It's not really doing anything new as far as, like,
no.
What the game is, so...
No, the game is a looter shooter. Although I will say, like, this time you go to different planets, from what I've seen, and then you also, in the first time in the series, you can now vault. So when you leap onto a ledge, you can now vault yourself on top of it, like, you lift yourself up.
Oh, okay, cool.
So that's new. That's new. Oh, also they have a new, slide dash mechanic. Because people forget Borderlands 2 came out before, like, run slides were a thing in games. So, yeah, that's in there now. I would think that this is the best way to put it is this was a very huge mechanical, like, facelift. Mm. And mechanical kind of background lift to the mechanics of Borderlands. But as far as the content, nothing I'm seeing in this is any different than any other Borderlands game.
Gotcha.
Outside of, I think that the characters you play are now, like, very vocal. Like, they say things a lot more often now, as well as, like, you now go up to, when you talk to people, you actually, like, the character actually talks to them.
Oh, that's cool.
And so it's like, yeah, it's like, introduce, like, what's your name? And you go up and, you, like, your character introduces themselves. So, like, that's new.
Gotcha. What character are you playing as?
I'm playing as the operative thing. Okay. He's the dude with the shield, the drone, and the like hollow clones that he can kind of warp himself
right.
between. Really popular character is Flak, which is the weird beastmaster
right.
guy. People are really digging his special ability, which is to like to launch out different beasts as kind of like a hunter class. So, yeah. Next up is NHL 20 is currently sitting at a 79. It's received basically a 7 out of 9 or 79, whatever you want to put it, is essentially, like, it is a more robust version of NHL that they haven't really seen much of lately. But it is a 2K sports game. Yeah. Or, sorry, not a 2K. This is an EA sports game, so you're going to get it being EA Sports. So you got your yeah, Madden's EA, yeah. So it's that same kind of, like, yearly thing. They put a bunch of new, like, improvements to the different modes and updates and whatnot, so... next up is Daemon X Machina, which is a game I'm looking forward to playing. I'm going to be picking that up. It came out today, but I probably won't pick it up until next week after I kind of get through some of these games that I'm already playing.
Yeah, man, you have a lot of playing now.
I do. I have a lot of catch-up to do. One thing I will say is that the game, it's currently sitting at a 74 on OpenCritic, but it is very clear that this is a... diverse, like, a game that is basically set up, like, this is definitely, like, a 7 out of 10 game, but it looks like it's very, very, very positive from people who look at kind of mech games like I do and really enjoy those. Like I mentioned at the top of the show, I've been playing Gundam Versus, which is a very bare-bones basic game, but I've been enjoying the hell out of it because it's giant robots and it's Gundams fighting each other. And this is giant robots fighting each other on the Nintendo Switch. Like, it's been called, like, a spiritual successor to the Armored Core series. So, I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Next up is Gears 5. So, Gears 5 came out. It's currently sitting at an 85 on Metacritic. IGN gave it a 9. Let's see here. TechRaptor gave it a 9. Destructoid gave it an 8. GameSpot gave it a 7. PC World gave it a 3.5 stars out of 5. Eurogamer recommended it. And then you get dropped down into... like, it's a mixed bag, it looks like. Which is not surprising, because Gears 4, if I recall correctly, was kind of the same way. Like, the years of, like, universal appeal of a Gears game just really isn't around. But if you're a fan of...
they got some cool new modes, like the Gears, and stuff, though, from what I've seen.
Oh yeah, they do. I think that what's really interesting is that there's a huge focus on this kind of like, this is a new, like, they're not saying, they came out and said this is not a new trilogy, this is a new saga, so it's going to be a more of an episodic storytelling that we kind of got hints of in Gears 4, where, like, partway through the story, like, the story breaks up, and Kate, who is, like, the, not a cog like the other characters were, but rather was one of the human beings living outside of the cog nation, and she's trying to figure out, like, what's going on with her and what her connections she has, and then you also have, like, what's going on with the rest of her former, you know, squad mates who are still dealing with kind of the internal politics of, you know, the COG and everything else with what's, like, basically because where Gears 4 ended was kind of up in the air about what was going on with the government going forward, so it's them kind of dealing with all of that. And also fighting the, I want to call them the Horde, but that's not correct, the Locusts, now that they've reappeared.
Yes, sir.
So, next up is Greedfall. This is a new game from a new developer, Spiders, from Focus Home Interactive, which is a new publisher, or at least a not well-known publisher. This has been a super fascinating game because it takes place in a very colonistic kind of world, which has gotten at some... questionable people, like, or not questionable people, people have kind of questioned what kind of a story it was going to tell. So Greedfall is apparently a massive game. It has diverse role-playing, a la, you know, old-school BioWare, mixed with a lot of combat and whatnot, but mostly it's been giving around sevens, which, you know, for a first shot at, like, a game of this scope, I'm not surprised. Because there's a lot to learn. But there's a lot of people who are still saying, even though they're giving it a 7 or even a 6, PC Gamer gave it a 67 out of 100.
Yeah, looks
but
very
that
fun.
It is
very fun. Indeed.
It looks like it's a very particular game. So,
which I'm all about this game. I've been watching it for a while, waiting for it to come out. I'm pretty excited.
Also, there's a review here. I won't go into detail about whose it is, but saying that a game is neither good nor bad is a bad way of describing how a game plays. It's neither good nor bad. No, it's one or the other. Which is it? Like, is it a is it a playable game? Good. It's a good game then.
Yeah.
People can play it.
All the way.
Yeah. Next up is from Konami's Digital Entertainment is eFootball PES 2020. So PES football, which is the soccer, like the alternative game for soccer that's not FIFA. It's currently sitting at an 84 with reviews from Eurogamer saying they actually don't recommend it. They think that it needs more patches. Metro Game Central gave it an 8 out of 10. Game Informer gave it an 8 out of 10. And Games Radar Plus gave it a 4 out of 5. So it's up there with the reviews, but once again, it's a sports game. Next up is Monster Hunter World Iceborne is finally out. It came out last week. And it has been getting nothing but stellar reviews. 9s out of 10s, 8 out of 10s, 4.5 stars out of 5s. Like, we're talking about the full gambit here, which is not surprising considering how well-reviewed Monster Hunter World is. Like, I played a ton of that when it came out, and I'm not surprised that the expansion is so well-received. I would love to go back and play it, but unfortunately I would also have to climb through all of, like, the updates and new creatures and... Yeah, there's a lot that you have to go through to get to the point where you can play that expansion, and I'm just not into it.
Yeah.
Next up is Creature in the Well, which is a pinball action arcade game. Not action arcade, sorry. Called top-down pinball-inspired hack-and-slash dungeon crawler. It's essentially your dungeons are built like pinball machines, and so you have to kind of like work the pinball-like mechanics as you work your way through it. It's currently sitting at an 79 on OpenCritic. Several in the in the fair category of reviews. The strong category of reviews, where, you know, most people giving it kind of in that 8 range. 7.5, 8, 8 out of 10, 8 out of 10. Yeah, lots of 8s. Next up, NBA 2K20. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, NBA 2K20, also known as Gambling Simulator 2020. Where they're not even hiding it. They literally designed their loot boxes as gambling
NBA
games.
2K slot machine.
Yeah, I'm not even going to talk about its reviews. You shouldn't play this game. Period. It's egregious. It's beyond egregious. It's terrible. Like, you should not be doing this with the loot boxes mechanics so similar to gambling that they're being investigated by Belgium's Gaming Commission, the Netherlands Gaming Authority, and several other government bodies in Europe and across and in America for their design.
Yeah.
Like, don't play this game. Don't support it. All right, next up is Astral Chain. Astral Chain came out on the 30th of August. I picked it up. I still haven't played it yet, but I've watched a lot of people play it, and it is really cool. It's currently sitting at an 87, a mighty OpenCritic rating. It's from Platinum Games and Nintendo, and it is currently sitting at reviews of 9 out of 10 from IGN. Easy Allies gave it an 8. Eurogamer said it's essential, meaning that not only do they recommend it, they're saying it's essential that you play this game if you own a Switch. Metro Gaming Central gave it a 9 out of 10. I mean, I can keep going.
See, I want to play that, but I got to save up for Long's Awakening.
That's fair. That's fair. GameSpot gave it an 8 out of 10. Polygon said that it's the new, like, Astral Chain is the best new Nintendo franchise since Splatoon. Like, Destructoid gave it a 9 out of 10. Like, we're talking top critics all praising it. Indie, like, lower end critics all praising it. Just top to bottom, people love this game. Next up is, unfortunately, a bit of a fair outing, which is The Dark Pictures Man of Medan. For those of you who aren't familiar, this is from Bandai Namco Entertainment is the publisher. However, the developer is from the people who made Until Dawn, which, if any of you remember, Until Dawn was a game that Chandler and I played when we launched KGN. Mm-hmm. We streamed the entire game.
We streamed it so much, and you were so engrossed in it that we were supposed to switch off, and we never did.
Yeah, we never did. Like, neither of us remembered. Like, I remember we got to the very end, I was like, oh my gosh, I played through all of that. Chandler, you were supposed to play through that too.
I was having fun just watching, so.
Yeah, like, no, that's the thing. That game is so good just to play and watch. Like, I love seeing the decisions other people make in that game. It's so good. Oh, and we had such a good track record going through just until the very end of the game. We had everybody alive, everybody was making the right choices, and then all of a sudden, like, the thing is, it got to the point where, like, you were supposed to hold the controller still, but I couldn't keep my hands still. They were shaking because I was, like, so adrenaline pumping. Yeah. Like, the game is, Until Dawn is, like, just a must play if you own a PS4. Like, it is a must play. Like, you need to play that game. Until Dawn is just incredible. Yeah, it was. Man of Medan, unfortunately, is not as strong. It's difficult because it's clear that this game was built to be played in multiplayer with multiple people playing at the same time. And so now it is a game that, so the story is still interesting, but like the gameplay is just doesn't hold up as much. I kind of hinted that might end up being the case when I did a preview of it over at PAX East up at handsomephantom.com. Part of our PAX East material. That was when it was during the press hour before the show floor opened. And I just, like, walked in, saw that, went straight to it, and played it, and was really impressed by it. But at the same time, like, there was a lot of flaws that I could tell were kind of come from it, from, like, just performance issues that I was hoping would be more polished up by now, but it looks like they didn't get to it, so. But it's important to note that these are anthologies, so The Man of Medan is the first one of the Dark Pictures anthology. And so essentially these are going to be kind of smaller horror games that are essentially telling an anthology of stories rather than just one story, like Until Dawn was. So. But yeah, that one was sitting at, like, it wasn't doing great. And it's sad, but it is what it is. But with that being said, I think that's it. Like, that's it for the news.
I announced one game that came out, too, that I was really excited for.
Yeah, sure, I didn't catch it.
It's called Blasphemous. And, it came out on the consoles, I think, a week or so earlier, but it's on the Switch now. And, oh my goodness. Blasphemous looks so much fun. It's super intense, too, if you haven't seen what the game's about. A lot of blood and gore, and it's really cool. It's like a Souls-like game, except the 2D side-scroller version. It's a lot of fun, though.
Nice.
I don't know if you're checking it out right now.
Very cool. I'm not, no. Sure. I'm tired.
Yeah.
I'm ready to end the show.
We had a lot of stuff.
Which is a weird way of putting it. That's a weird way of phrasing it, considering what you announced at the beginning. I'm tired to end the show. Like, it needs to go.
Monster. Man.
I'm so tired. No. No, this is it. This is the end of episode 150.
The end of an era.
A 4.5 year long era.
Not quite like an decade? Era.
Like,
2 decades?
Jeez, all of our friends stopped doing their chain after like a year or two. Like, granted, they were like writing every day, but still. Oh, okay. Well, that's it for us here at the KG Podcast. Episode 150 is in the books. A celebration, to be sure, as we look back fondly on 150 episodes.
Oh, yes.
And then also all the solo casts and like side episodes and everything else. First and foremost, I think I speak for all of us when I wanted to say thank you so much for listening, all of you out there. This will be a big throwback, but hashtag Dutch hype. From the two people in the Netherlands who used to listen to us, to our global audience, to just our anchor.fm purists who are still following us there, thank you so much. It means the world to me personally, on just like a personal level, that anybody's cared enough to think that what I have to say about this industry that I love and the medium of art that I adore is worth listening to. And if you spend even a moment listening to, you know, some of my dumb opinions, thank you. As far as my hosting goes, I think this will probably be, like, this is the end of an era for me, because outside of Cameron Crowe's, which I still might do, it depends on how I feel about going forward with it in the future, but depending on how things go, you know, I may never host a podcast again. I'm, if Chandler was here, I would be, you know what, Chandler, you're not here, but here you go. I'm holding it out. Can you feel it? Can you feel it poking you in the chest? Gosh. It's poking you in the face now.
Can I won't you feel miss it? This.
Can you feel how? the vague, overt sexual harassment that I've given you for the last 4.5 years. Sheesh. People forget, like, the first question I ever asked in the Ask Chandler a question was literally, at what point would you give? At which point you would give certain stimulation via the mouth. Your mouth onto others. At first it was like, for money, and you're like, no, for no amount of money would I do that. And it's like, okay. What if somebody held a gun to your mother's head?
Oh, we don't man. Need to rehash this again. It's fine.
Oh.
Sometimes I'm on a chair or in the closet, but almost always dressed as Superman.
There you go. It has been a long, winding, crazy, untrodden road that we have walked down, boys, but I wouldn't have walked it down this road with anybody else, and I'm glad that you were by my side.
Here, here. I'll drink to that.
Yeah. You know, yeah. You know what? Yeah.
Watered down root beer.
Oh, no.
All right. Well, you guys have any last words?
We'll see you in 2 weeks.
Now that's your deadline, yeah.
I should say Scott and I will see you in 2 weeks.
Yeah. Last words
for in some Cameron. Form or another.
Oh, man.
My last words? I mean, they're the last words anybody should hear when we end this podcast. From episode 150, well, from episode 1 to 150, thank you so much. But do us a favor and hit those lights on the way out.